Well, hello everybody. My name is Tisha Pelletier and you are tuning in to the Inspiration Station. I am so excited to introduce you to my special guest for the month, Amber Anderson. How are you, Amber?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to meet you. We haven't yet met officially, but we do have a meeting scheduled for later this week. And interestingly enough, Amber, it seems like you and I keep running in the same circles and have never met, and we're both Sun Devils. I saw that from your bio that you also went to ASU. Same here. And yeah, like I just keep feeling that friends keep introducing us kind of in a roundabout way. Are you getting that same feeling?
I absolutely am. It seems like your name and image has popped up at least 3 times this week.
And yours too. I'm like, oh, I know Amber. And he's like, you know, Adam, our friend, our mutual friend. He's like, you do know Amber? I'm like, no, I don't know Amber, but I do know Amber. Meeting. So it's so nice to finally, well, virtually meet you. And like I said, very excited to meet you on Thursday when we have our official meet and greet with the kiddos, hopefully.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you, because, I mean, just in looking at the questionnaire that you sent back to me and looking at your website and looking at everything you're doing, I am just very much inspired about all that you're doing. It seems like you, like me, are also a serial entrepreneur, but were you always an entrepreneur, or, like, where did you get your start?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So for a good portion of my life, I worked in corporate America. I started off wanting to be a lawyer, because I thought that would give me an opportunity to do the two things I love to do, which is debate, hot topics, and help people. And unfortunately, once I got out of my bachelor's program, I started to realize that lawyers don't really get a chance to debate hot topics much. It's a lot of paperwork, and it's expensive paperwork. So I had to make a career change. And when I did that, it was very random. I took a administrative assistant position at Apollo Group, which owns the University of Phoenix. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not.
I am.
Yeah, so I was just sitting there, relaxing, doing some data entry stuff, and I got approached by a gentleman that was in the technology department, and he said he really liked the way I carried myself, and he felt like I could be a good fit for their team, and asked me to come on board as a business analyst to support their struggling development team connect better with the business so that they could produce better products. And that's kind of how I got my start. So I spent, after that, about 7 years in technology.
Very cool. And so what prompted you to start your business? So you have a business called Kason, and that is actually named after your son, right? Your son?
Yeah.
And or it's by Kason or Kason? By Kason, I think.
Yeah, the company is called Kason, and our domain name is by Kason.
Ah, okay, so there's where it is. I'm like, I know it was on your website that by Kason. Good. So tell me a little bit about, okay, so you're in the tech field, and you've been doing this for a while. What makes you say, okay, I have to do this? Like, this is my next step, especially after having your son. Your husband, you said, has been a big supporter of you. I was reading in your bio that just, or even in the questionnaire you submitted, just your typical day, even before, I think it was on your blog, about how you were getting up at 1 in the morning and then working nights. Goodness, that had to have taken a toll on your health and just your well-being and your family. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the way I got into entrepreneurship actually was not really planned at all, which is terrible because I'm a strategist. But I had also
it was the same thing for me too.
Right? Like, I know better than this. But I think I did have a plan. It just was a different plan. And what had happened is I grew up in a very low to middle class family. My father worked probably 35 years of his 39 years at American Airlines without ever taking a sick day. And one of the things that I knew is that I always wanted to be better, and not to say that he wasn't great, it's just I wanted a different life for my family. I felt like I saw my father work a lot and had to sacrifice a lot, and then my mom ended up having to go into work, and I just thought that I could do so much more if I was given an opportunity. So the way that I was presented that is that you find a good job. Doctors and lawyers were the top jobs at that time. The 90s, everybody wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer. And so that's why I picked it. I said, I'll, you know, then I'll be a lawyer.
and I will work as hard as I need to in order to create a life that is more fulfilling for me and gives me an opportunity to do more than what I was capable of doing, you know, in the confines of my family structure.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it was bad. My parents did the best that they could, but I just felt like I could do more. And so that translated to me really thinking that the way you do that in corporate America is you work your butt off. And that's what I did. I mean, going in, you haven't met me, but I'm under 5 feet. So whenever I walk into a room, I'm an African-American female that is really short. And people traditionally are thinking, you're going to leave my Fortune 500 company strategy. And so it took a lot out of me to be able to get up in front of that. And I felt like the best way to do that was to always bring my A game. So no matter what it was that was presented, Amber was on top of it, whether it was better research or, you know, a better idea or having a better presentation. And to me, that all translated into more work.
More work.
That's the way that I viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
The more I put into it, the more I get out. Right.
That's so similar. That, you know, when I graduated from ASU, so my background was working in ad agencies, and I was always floored handling client accounts and, you know, running the day-to-day with them. And what was so interesting to me is here you have a coworker that does nothing, and then here you have you or I who is like, you know, bring your A game, do whatever is necessary, do more than what is necessary.
Yeah.
And your bosses look at that and they're like, great, more work for you, less work for this person, because we know you'll handle it. We know that you're on top of this and you're going to do it. Same pay, though. No other accolades, no promotion, just, you know, we're on equal playing field. And I could never understand that. And I was like, oh, this is driving me completely nuts. So I'm glad that you're saying that it's like, you know what, I worked my butt off, and yet what did I have to show for that?
Yeah, well, and I think I said it before that I didn't learn that lesson, though. I don't know why. I just was so focused on if I do better, they'll notice. Somebody will notice. And I did, to be fair. I mean, I did get a lot of opportunities. I, led some of the largest strategies and implemented some really major programs for really well-known organizations. And, in corporate America, it was great. You know, people started to know me, you know, and that's what I wanted. But there was always still something else that I needed to do to stay at that level. I felt like there was never, I did it and you're there. There was always something more or someone else that was ready to kind of come in and swoop you out. So it became this really vicious cycle for me. And I didn't know how to get out of it. So I just kept doing it. And it got to the point where I was working, you know, I've worked 24 hours before, cried towards the end, you know, like home, I'm on my laptop and my husband's like, go to sleep. I'm like, I can't, you know, but, you know, I just got into it, and people started to expect it, and I felt like I had to deliver.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's hard. The whole expectation thing of people are expecting this. I have to do it. I have to do it. So now let's fast forward a little bit and still in your past, but so you are now pregnant with your son, and your husband is, it seems like he's expressing some concern of, you need to stop this. Obviously, he's telling you, get off your laptop, go to bed, you know. And I feel like I've had those same conversations, but with my kids. They're like, get off your laptop, get off your laptop. And I'm like, Mommy's working. But, you know, and I keep trying to explain that to them, that I'm like, I have such a flexible lifestyle right now. But, yes, I still need to be there and here. And my hours are a little bit varied than the whole 9 to 5. So now I've read on your blog that now you're pregnant with your son, and you said your water broke, like, even at the office early. So how terrifying was that for you to be like, oh, my gosh, okay, I totally was not expecting this. Now I have to kind of figure out what to do with this that's going on in my life right now. What does your boss say? Please tell me they weren't like, well, sorry.
No,
I've heard stuff like that. Trust me. I've heard these horror stories from other women and mom entrepreneurs who are like, oh, my gosh, did you really just say that? Schedule my daughter's ear infection?
Right?
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy. I actually started, now when I look back, cases are only. I started having contractions at 17 weeks. And so I had gone to the hospital, and they were kind of like, well, you know, there's nothing we can do.
you just need to drink more water, and we got it checked out. But, you know, I just kind of felt like, okay, well, this is just part of it. So I kept going, and I had said in my head, you know, this is when things become different. And even my husband, his name is Kaisan, Kong Kai, had said, this is when we have Kaisan, things will be different, because we can't do this the way that you're doing it today. Our family is going to have to come first. And so what that looked like for us was, you know, I was going to take 3 months off and I wasn't going to work, and then I would slowly make my way back, and he would transition into taking care of Kaisan on more of a full-time basis. So we'd split it, but he would take majority of the work. So I had set the date. I'm going to, you know, as of this date, no more traveling, and I'm going to now actively be cutting back and changing my lifestyle. Kaisan was the mark for me to say, things change. And so that was a really important point in my life, because up until that point, I had hit almost every single milestone I'd ever sought out to hit that was really of importance to me. So I played softball at ASU. I played in the World Series. Like, I've done all these really major things and never felt accomplished. But this was one thing that I said is really important. It took us, I want to say, 12 years to have him. So it was a big milestone. And so when I said, okay, no more traveling, and things start to settle down, I had begun the process of getting prepared for what my new life would look like. So when my water broke, it was devastating, because I was not ready. We were not ready. And all the things that came along with delivering a premature baby, he was 9 weeks early, so he was 3 pounds, was a flood. And so what would have naturally been a progression for most women, you have a baby shower, you get the nursery ready, you have time to prepare, just came, you know, like an avalanche. And so we didn't even have time to really think or make that transition ourselves. My boss was really great. You know, I was at the time working towards being a partner at an engineering firm. They had offered it to me, and I had hesitated, because I said, I don't know if I can, you know, if I want to do this. So let me think about it, and I'll let you know when I come back. And so at that point, you know, they were still kind of, I think, hoping that I'd stay. I then made the decision that I could never go back to that environment again. So Kaisan, my water broke at work. It was, I think, a week or two after I had just finished traveling. I was in Chicago or Kansas, one of the two. And thank God, in Chandler.
Yes. Thank goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Always close to home is best.
My
sister, in fact, is getting ready to have her first baby, and she even, like you, is like, I'm not ready. I thought I had more time, and she's only coming a couple weeks early, her daughter, but she's like, I thought I had more time. Like, she and she's like, there's so much to do.
Yes,
it really does. It sneaks up on you when you least expect it. You're like, oh, it's good. Okay, we've got a couple more months. Oh, yeah, baby's coming soon. Oh, no, baby's here. Baby's right here.
You never can be prepared for what actually happens when the baby arrives. Like, it's like your life changes completely, and you could never have been prepared for it. But, you know, you at least somewhat have a little bit of time, but you had none.
Yeah. So one thing that you said too in your questionnaire is it's almost like you just need to ebb and flow with what's going on. And one thing that really resonated with me is if you're going down a path and it turns out to be the wrong direction, you can change it. You turn back around. You start fresh. You change your direction. Like, there's no one-way streets. And that really just hit a nerve with me, because I'm going through a lot of that even in my own business. And so tell me, do you feel like a lot of the clients that are coming to you are kind of in that same mindset of, I've tried this, it's not working, but I know this is it. I feel it in my gut that this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, how are you helping them, you know, strategize and move forward with their big vision?
Yeah, so strategy is all about really stepping back for a minute and thinking about all the various angles that you could approach something. And to the most part, things happen, so you're never going to be certain. But you can do a really good job of anticipating and therefore making strategic decisions about which way would you go based off of the data. And so the challenge with strategy, though, is everybody doesn't think they need it until after it's too late. So especially in the small business community, if you were to say, you know, we're going to spend $1,000 on marketing, people usually jump. But if you say, you know, I think you need to
spend $1,000 going through a strategic exercise, they're usually like, well, you know, $1,000 is a lot. You know what I mean? So traditionally, people that are coming to me either, one, have a problem. So, for example, one of my clients is like, at this point, I'm going to go out of business in 3 years. That's all I have. I've been in business for 15 if I don't make a change, and I don't know what to do. So now, or it's, you know, I really see this opportunity, and there's just so much going on. I only have this limited amount of funds. I really need to understand where do I put it so I can get there the fastest, and I can get there and stay there longer. So those are the two scenarios. Usually people are feeling a pinch when they come to me versus people that are like, you know, I've got this wild and crazy idea, and it's the first time I'm ever doing it. Traditionally, they're not the ones that understand or are ready to go down the path of thinking about things in multiple angles and investing in that. So that's kind of the way that they approach me. And I do try and select people that are really vested because it's a long-term game. So people like, you know, us, where it's our business is important to us. It's something that we're vested in. It's something we believe in. Usually are the ones that are going to find the most value out of really trying to think about it in a long-term perspective versus companies that are just, you know, I'm a startup that's planning on selling, you know, because their thought process is much shorter.
Well, I think that too, and that, you know, I feel that I've come across a lot of women who are like, I have this idea, I'm going down this idea, and maybe it's not, maybe it is more of, I don't know, I hate to say the word hobby, but they're not fully invested in it, and it could go by the wayside. It's like, it worked, it didn't work, whatever, I'm done with it. But I do think that, I mean, there's a certain type of an entrepreneur that's like driven, ambitious, it's got to work, I'm going to make this work. I have this plan. I mean, you even said like one of your priorities is leaving a legacy. And I almost feel like those, you know, those are the entrepreneurs that are like, I'm doing this so I can leave it behind for my family. You know, I want to build this up. I'm totally there with you. I mean, thankfully I have a daughter because I don't know that my son would want to take over a gal's inspiration hub. My daughter, on the other hand, May. And you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm setting the stage. Whether she takes that or not, it's totally up to her as she gets older. But I feel like this is the support. This is the group. This is, you know, this is the business that I'm building that I'm extremely passionate about. And the kids see that. They love that. They're involved in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I named, intentionally we named the company after Kaysen because I actually had toggled with doing something different for a couple of years and just, I started to lose confidence in myself and felt like, you know, somebody would approach me and say, I think you would be great for this, come join my team, or, you know, I would just kind of drift, and I felt like it was because I would do it if I could do it, even though I had done it for so many other people and they were willing to pay me to do it for them. Investing in myself was something that was scary, and so by naming it Kaysen, it was twofold. One, to have the ability to leave him something. And the other aspect would be to remind myself why I'm doing it. So
yes,
it is a vested interest for my son. You know, for him and his foundation and his future, he needs me to make that change.
That's one of the biggest things I think that women ask themselves is, what's the why? Tell me the why. You're doing this why? And hands down, especially if you're a mom, it's because of my kids. I mean, I shared some stories with you even before we jumped on of, I had just incredible bad day last week. You know, working with a client, it just wasn't the right fit for them, nor them. They really needed someone internally full time, and had expected their contractor, us, to be that for them. And I'm like, no. We've got to set some healthy boundaries. We're still doing the work for you, but please understand, we have other commitments. You know, you are a priority. Like, the client was like, we're not a priority. No, you are a priority.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we work out of your office. We come here and you know, spend 5 hours here when we should have only spent two. Like, there was just a lot of overstepping of boundaries. And I just remember, you know, having this really crummy day and going and picking up my son from school. And you're going to laugh at this too, Amber. He says to me, Mom, he gets in the car, and he's like, Mom, I just traded 15 pirate booties for a bottle of Gatorade. How cool is that? And I just started busting up laughing. I'm like, what?
he's like, yeah, isn't that cool? I'm like, oh, and I could not stop thinking about that. Because I'm like, you just made all of the bad disappear today. Like, just I'm like, I wish that I could say, 15 car foodies, mortgage paid.
Right? Light bill done. Right.
And then my husband's like, what the heck is a pirate booty? I'm like, popcorn. It's popcorn, honey. It's just popcorn.
Right.
You know, or but it's just like, yeah, I mean, I have some good friends that work in corporate America and they're making buku bucks, and but they don't have that. They don't have that lifestyle with their kids. I mean, I remember one of my neighbors, good friend of mine, but she's like, my daughter likes spaghetti. And she just sat there and said that to me. She's like, my daughter likes spaghetti. How did I not know she likes spaghetti? I'm like, how did you not know? She's like, well, she's at daycare. And I'm like, and so your daycare provider gave her spaghetti. Clearly she loves spaghetti. And you didn't know about this because you're not there.
Yeah.
And I have to keep, it was really, you know, it was one of those things that I bring up a lot because I'm like, that made me think. And I'm like, you know, yes, money's there. Money comes. You can always, and that's, I think the beauty of being an entrepreneur is being able to say, this is what I'm going to do. Here's how high I'm going to go. There's no limit to where I can go. And yet I can still have the best of both worlds. And be with my family and know my family and put them first and work my own hours and have that flexible schedule. Like I share this story that, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing with you that people approach you and say, you would be awesome at this. How about you join my team? And I constantly have people doing that to me even now, even though I've been out of the game for so long working for somebody, but they will come to me and say, I want to hire you. You have this persona. You carry yourself well. You do really well doing this. $250,000 paycheck each year. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to sit there, Amber, and I'm like, no. And I'm like, because tomorrow when you get up at 7 in the morning and are in meetings and selling for the company that you work for, I'm going to be taking my kids to school and packing lunches and being there for them. And that to me is irreplaceable. I can't, I can't get that time back.
And you can't put a price on it. And I think that takes confidence, which I didn't have in the beginning. I felt like because I had always worked my way up that I had earned the right to say that or be valuable enough. And once you get over that hurdle, you're like, why did I do that? It's ridiculous. And you couldn't pay me enough to have to do this ever again. Right? Like you start to remember. But I don't think some women ever have an opportunity to even get over that first hurdle of, I deserve this. You know, you're not doing me a favor by letting me take my kids to the doctor's office, right?
Yeah.
That's a necessity. And I couldn't even imagine if somebody had asked me to make those types of sacrifices now, knowing what I, you know. So I think that takes a lot of change.
It does. I think that that's one thing, you know, in fact, it's funny that you bring up confidence because just this past month in Tisha Marie Enterprises, my brand, we did a webinar on confidence boosting and, you know, performance power. We had a gal that came in and she's a Broadway performer, you know, and she's really taken a lot of those tools that she's used on performing on the stage and brought it to business owners too. Of how do you gain more confidence? How do you create more joy, clarity, joy, you know, confidence in your business, in your life? Like, what are some steps that you do? And I think that's always going to be, you know, something that women face, a struggle they face, is how do I become more confident to be able to move forward and not devalue myself in that process?
And everybody has such a unique story, you know, of how they get there. I mean, like I said, I could probably name in bullets things that have happened that, you know, ate away at my confidence, you know, growing up a middle-class family or whatever, when I tell my story to people, they're like, you should feel great about what you've accomplished. And, you know, I should. But that took work to stop and accept it and then, you know, say, hey, look, I'm kind of a catch here. You need to be grateful for me and I need to be grateful for myself and proud of myself. And so, you know, you got to understand the individual story sometimes to help them see beyond what's holding them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So one project that you're working on right now coming up in July is you have your MORE retreat, and you shared a little bit with me before. It's your first time doing this, and it sounds amazing. So, and it sounds like the whole movement around this is work-life balance, which I'm not sure if you knew, but our my tagline is life-business balance. So I'm like, wow, we are two peas in a pod, seriously.
I know. That's
what Adam calls us. He's like, you two are two peas in a pod. Like, you two really are going to hit it off. And I, he's never been wrong. Every person he introduces me to, I'm like, we're like soul sisters.
Tell
me about this event. Very cool. I love the idea of bringing families together and having them, you know, work on themselves, invest on themselves professionally, but then also being able to enjoy their family on site. So tell me a little bit about it, the MORE retreat.
Yeah, sure. So the MORE retreat is a 3-day, 2-night event that we're having at the Ritz-Carlton in Marana, July 22nd through the 24th. And the whole purpose is that we, first of all, my company, KSIN, we're a strategy company, and one of the things we wanted to do is every year use our talents to be able to make an improvement in the community. We do it for our clients all the time, but we really wanted to have the platform to pick something we cared about and try mm-hmm. and solve some of those problems. And work-life balance is on the minds of 70% of Americans today, moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a woman's issue, it's a parent issue.
Right.
And how do we support that? And so we decided it's a big topic to tackle, but it's one that we're focused on doing in his home for us, that we do it by really kind of stepping back and looking at the data and then figuring out how could we approach it. And one of the things we realized is that there is no easy answer solving the work-life mm-hmm. balance challenge. And the reason for that is because our society has completely changed. You know, 40% of women nowadays are the primary breadwinners in their family. I was the primary breadwinner of my family. So being mm-hmm. able to leave the workforce becomes stressful for me in two areas. It was, one, I have a family now that I do want to be with and that need me. And two, mm-hmm. it is really hard to leave your career field and lose out mm-hmm. on all of the things that are trending, right? So knowing that, that's a challenge that's facing a lot of women in particular, we decided the best way to approach it was by integrating them, so not making people have to choose. So it's not mm-hmm. about balance as much as it is about integration and how do we create environments that allow us to be able to work in both of the different scenarios that we're having to do that need us in those places. So at MORE, what we've done is we've created an environment where you come as a business retreat that's focused on doing all of the different aspects that you would need to make yourself better in development. So we've got business workshops, so you can go meet with marketers, strategists, a variety of different resources that are going to help you build up your business skills, get you insights on what's going on, stay current, be better, mm-hmm. right? And then we also have things focused on family and personal development. So, for example, family-wise, what's it like to be, you know, the man taking care of the children, right? We have a session on that on the panel of how roles have changed. And then, you know, personally, maybe participate in some yoga sessions and start focusing on what can I do to, you know, be better for you and your staff, because the attendee mm-hmm. includes a guest who gets to participate in all of the various sessions. All of our lunches are together as a family. We have child care services, so the children are taken care of with activities that are targeted towards them and their age range.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a date night, so right next door we'll have nannies that will be watching the children as they, you know, play and participate in activities. And you and your spouse get to have a plated dinner and, you know, wine and hang out and relax, right, with the kids being safe nearby you. And then you're at the Ritz-Carlton. So the goal was to be able to give you, right? The goal was really to be able to say, look, you deserve this. And the reality is life is hard. It's really hard for you as a parent. But that doesn't mean you can't do it, and it certainly doesn't mean that you can't do it, that you're alone. So we're going to create this environment that is really structured on making sure that you are getting nurtured in every aspect so you can leave and be better, better parent, a better business owner, and just better all around in your community, because you get it, we get it, and we're here to support you. Let's give them MORE. That's kind of where the name MORE came from. We need MORE to support people that are trying to do and manage all of this. Mm-hmm. And it started because I needed it. I needed more. It was hard for me.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was nobody really there to kind of help. And I wanted to create that environment so I wouldn't be alone and the other people that are struggling like me wouldn't be alone either.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. What you just said right now is exactly why I started, you know, the whole Gals Inspiration Hub or even the Mommy Club before, because I feel like, you know, when you're in that role, you become mom, you become, you know, you're still doing the entrepreneur thing and you're like, what? I don't even know where I go. Like where, you almost have a little bit of an identity crisis of, I'm not sure where I fit in. Where do I meet the people that are just like me? How do I connect with them and learn from them and share and vent to them even with people who understand what I'm going through on a day-to-day basis? And it's incredible. I love that you've created that because of your own need, too, and saying, hey, if I need this, how many other people could use this?
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Well,
thank you.
I hope so, you know, and I think I made it family-friendly because I am really close to my husband. I mean, we are a pair. I absolutely could not have done anything in my career without him, and I think that's an important component. I mean, I am able to do what I do in my business because he is with my son, right? Every time that I'm not with Kaysen, Kai's with Kaysen. And so knowing that I have somebody like that, he deserves this too. He deserves to be able to be nurtured in his business. He deserves to be able to be with me and not have to take the burden of going on a business conference or, you know, those types of things. I think it really becomes the family pair. It's really essential for women as we drive into more leadership roles and entrepreneurs and business owners. We need a good spouse, you know, and it's not to take away from what I'm capable of, but it's to say that I'm better because my husband is right there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fortunate for that. And my son's there with me, so you should always see the three of us. And I want people to notice that.
Right. Good. Yeah, that's great. I love that. Well, good luck with that event. Sounds incredible. So before we go, I'd like to ask you, you have a quote in here that it seems like this is the one quote that you said uplifts you. And I've heard it so many times. In fact, a lot of our women entrepreneurs have said the same thing to me. But if you don't build your dreams, someone will hire you to build theirs. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, I love that quote, first of all. But, like, if you could provide, and clearly, obviously, you worked for some companies where they did. They thought that, hey, you work for me. You build my dream, you know. And I don't know if I'm going to say thank you, but that's great that you're building my dream. But tell me a little bit about, like, you know, some other women maybe tuning into this or listening at a later date, what would you tell that person who's maybe on the cusp of giving that up, just like you had, you know, giving up that corporate cushy career and saying, I'm now ready to take the leap and I want to do this and I want to be there for my family and I want to play an important role. I want to be in the play. I don't want someone else to play my part. Like, I want to be there 110% for my kids and my business and my family, all of that. So what kinds of words of wisdom would you leave with someone?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is I am a strategist. So what we learn right away is that everything has its place and everything has value. So for me, when I started to associate how much value my time had, not in a dollar figure, but in general, the time that I could say my son, you know, seeing him walk for the first time, how much would that have cost me? You know, like, could you have paid me to miss that? Or, you know, the time I spent with him in the hospital where I never left his side. If I was working, and I saw lots of women, they had to leave. They had to leave their newborn babies so that they could go back to work. And I think the biggest thing for me would have been, what is it that I want? What are my goals? And what are going to get me there the fastest with the most amount of support and happiness? And for me, it comes back to always looking at those things. There's certainly times where corporate America is great. I've earned a lot of money there that allows me the flexibility, but that was so that I could be better and hit something else. So I like the quote because it reminds me that I am either going to be working on my dreams or someone else's. Sometimes working on somebody else's is part of my dream. Right, gives me the finances that I need or the time or the stability that I need in order to get somewhere else. But I'm always reaching for something else. And make sure you picked what that end goal is. Don't let somebody else pick it for you.
So just understand where your end goal is, and then make sure that all the things that you're doing are putting you in a place to hit that goal. And you know why you're there. Don't let somebody else lead you. I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I would share with anyone. And it's all, you know, it's all part of it. Figuring out the goal is the hardest part, but once you have that, everything else starts to make sense, and you can come back to that.
I completely agree with that. I think that some women, I think, maybe lacking that they don't have clarity in their vision. They don't have that. This is what I'm trying to hit. This is, I mean, shoot, write it on your wall even, and just has a constant reminder of this is what I'm trying to do. And there have been women in the group that have asked me, like, all of these people come to me with all these different opportunities. And one thing that my business partner had said to me at one point, she's like, does it help you reach your goal? Because if not, then perhaps that's something you say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so just, yes, I'll do anything you ask me to do. Yes, even if it doesn't help me reach this goal, I'm helping you, but then I'm neglecting this, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those, I mean, it's just, it comes around all the time of how do we say no and how do we keep focus. And, I mean, it's having a goal in mind and sticking to that goal. You naming your business, your son's name, that's that is the goal. This is the goal.
That's the goal, right?
Mine to Ellie and Caleb.
EllieandCaleb.com. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think I mentioned before, you're changed. Things change, right? So I think the biggest thing with anything from a strategic perspective is it's what is the goal that's not going to change, right? And based off of that, it might be very high. It may be I'm not going to open, you know, a croissant restaurant. That might not be the goal. The goal may be I want to have some independence that allows me to use my cooking to bring life to people, right? And maybe you start with the food truck, or maybe you don't. Maybe you start by doing bake sales. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you were working towards something that got you to your end goal, and you saw it. It was generic enough where if things changed, you know, maybe it isn't a restaurant, it's a food truck, it's okay because it still is getting you around the core. And that is the biggest piece. Focus on the core. Don't focus on the details when you're setting high-level goals.
Absolutely. Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Amber. I really enjoyed our time together on our podcast, The Inspiration Station. Definitely inspiring, no doubt. And I look forward to meeting with you later this week. Do you have anything else you'd like to share before we close?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the time.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, sounds good. Well, your issue of the Valley Lifestyles magazine will be coming out in May. Very excited to write that piece for you. And yeah, have a wonderful week, Amber, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Amber.